Welcome to the Taming Tribulation Podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Hammond.
And I'm the co-host, Jeremy Crossley.
In this season, we are using biblical stories about trials and tribulations that characters have gone through, how they confronted them and overcame their own personal obstacles, so they can become the people that God uses for his purpose. Not perfect people, but imperfect people being used to do his will.
Our intention with these stories is to pass on to the listener the understanding that God uses the hardest and most difficult moments in our lives to refine us into the people we were meant to be.
By listening to these stories, we hope that you can be encouraged to see where God can use your tribulations for his purpose.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to season 3 of Taming Tribulation. We're very excited to have you join us for a brand new season. And before we get into a brand new story, we're just going to catch you up a little bit on Jeremy and I's life and what we've been doing for the last months while we've been off of doing this podcast. So let's start with Jeremy. Jeremy, what have you been up to for February, March, April, and what do you want to tell the listeners about your life?
Yeah, so we took some time off, as everyone knows. We had to, you know, kind of figure out where our lives were going. And for me, I have been working a new job with dealing with psych patients. I do security at a hospital, trying to better help people who have mental illnesses. And good news is that I got accepted into a nursing program. It's a nice 20-month nursing program. And I'm really excited to see, you know, what God has in my life for that. I have some experience with my military background with doing, you know, handle with care and trauma related incidences. But this is a new chapter. I've changed careers, I think, twice or three times. So let's hopefully this one sticks. I'm actually really excited. I start in August, and yeah, I'm just really excited for it.
When's the last time you were in a classroom?
Before COVID. I graduated right when COVID started, so give or take. And yeah, I actually love the classroom though. Like, I'm a person who likes to be in the classroom and listen. Like, I can't do online work. That's not me.
Oh man, I can't imagine you being a student at 5, 6, 7 years old. You must have just destroyed that classroom. Like, it's not any different now.
Well, it's funny because when I was that young, I wasn't as much of a hooligan in school than I was. Well, from 5 to like 10, I was. But middle school and high school, I was kind of just like quiet. And then my senior year of high school is when I started getting, you know, obnoxious again. So my
it just stuck till now.
Yeah. I'm a lot more obnoxious, more opinionated. And as if anyone's aware, American universities don't like people who are opinionated and don't necessarily agree.
You can't go to university if you think for yourself. That's not what they want.
They want you to be robotic and think that what they think. And it's just, it's not always the case. I've had a couple professors who inspire people to think the way they should want to think rather than what they're told to think. So, but I'm 30 years old and I'm going back to school into a program where it's majority 18 to 25. So it'll be an experience. So.
Cool, man. Well, congratulations for getting into nursing school. That'll be exciting to hear about your new career.
Yeah, I can't wait to share it. So Wyatt, why don't you tell everyone how, you know, what's been going on in your life and how you've been?
Well, since we stopped doing this for, took a couple months break, I was living in an island in the Mediterranean Sea called Malta. It's just south of Italy, and I was there for the last 3 months. And right now, as we're doing this episode, I'm in Thailand. And I actually don't know where I'll be next month yet. But so yeah, that's what I've been doing. I'm just, I'm self-employed and I work remotely, so I can work from anywhere, and I can live out of Canada for 6 months of the year. So why not spend it in warmer countries than Canada, where your money goes a little bit further, and there's still nice countries to live in. So I spent some time in Malta, and I spent some time in Italy, and in Milan. I went and visited a friend up there, and then I've just been in Thailand for a couple weeks now, and still have a couple weeks to go. So yeah, that's what I've been up to, traveling around and just running my business online and experiencing some different countries.
Has it given you a different perspective about cultures, different cultures other than the American Canadian culture?
yeah, it's great to see different cultures, and that's a cool thing to experience. But the biggest thing is seeing how things are priced internationally, like seeing how far your money goes in other countries. And with Canada right now, in the last couple of years, really since COVID, our money has been hugely inflated. And comparatively, when you look at how expensive things are in Canada right now, and you go to other places in the world, how much cheaper they are, keeping in mind the wages in those countries are much, much lower. So, you know, it's all perspective. But so it's interesting going around the world and hearing what people have to say about their governments and about their economy, and just learning about different histories of different countries. And, you know, there's lots of cool places in the world that you don't get to see if you just stay in one country your whole life. So yeah, I've had a blast getting to learn about some different places.
That's awesome.
So that's what Jeremy and I have been up to for the last couple of months. And to give you an update on what our lives are like as we're coming back into season 3, we hope all of our listeners are doing well and your lives are going fantastically. And even though this podcast is about tribulation in our lives, we don't want to be experiencing tribulation all year, every year. Right. We want to have good years, and knowing that when bad times come that we're prepared for them, but we don't want to be in survival mode all the time. Right. So enjoy the good times while you got them. Jeremy and I are lucky enough to be in the middle of good times right now. Jeremy's going to nursing school. I'm traveling around the world, enjoying my time. And we hope you are in a good moment of your life as well. And if you're not, and you're in the middle of some tribulation, well, that's okay, because that's also part of life. You got to accept the downs, and you got to accept the ups. And if you're in the middle of a down, thanks for listening to this podcast. And if you're in the middle of an up, thanks for listening to this podcast. So let's jump into season 3, Jeremy. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Jeremy, why don't you give us an update, a reminder on what happened in season 2?
Yeah. So we talked about David and his trials and tribulations, right? He was the youngest of his brothers. He was chosen by Samuel to be the next king as a child, and he worked his way up. You know, he slayed the giant. He became prosperous. He became hunted by Saul, who was the king at the time. And David didn't lay a hand on him. David showed him over and over again that he did everything he did for God, and that he wouldn't lay a hand on God's chosen. So eventually he became king, but he fell into lust and sin with Bathsheba. You know, God, obviously he tried hiding it with Uriah the Hittite, and it was tough, obviously, for his life. And God took away David and Bathsheba's first son. You know, David finally realized, after all the times, all the sin that he tried covering up, that he finally had his relationship with God repaired as he was, you know, handing it over. And obviously his generations after him, you know, with his son and his daughter. But that's a little synopsis of last season. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys were inspired by it. I was convicted by it personally. And we're going to get into the story of Joseph and Wyatt. If you want to start us off, go for it.
Cool. So like Jeremy said, this season 3 is going to be about the story of Joseph, what tribulations Joseph goes through to end up at the end of his story, and how God uses him. We're starting in Genesis 37 in verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, His father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come down and bow to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So Jeremy, the opening part to the story tells us some things about how this family works. And so Joseph is the youngest of 12, and obviously he's not the brightest bulb, because you have a dream where all of your brothers' sheaves of grain are bowing down to you, and you have another dream where you're above all the stars, and dreams where you're clearly saying that you're reigning over everyone else. And so you go out there and tell that to your brothers in what it sounds like a very proud manner. You think it's pretty obvious what the outcome of that is going to be. You think that was a smart move by Joseph?
No, not even close. The first thing I noticed in here is Joseph's age. He's 17.
Yeah.
He's
a kid.
I mean, yeah, back then he was probably more of an adult, but he's still a kid to our eyes today. And, you know, his brothers, like, they didn't like him to begin with. You know, he had that sort of, I don't know, maybe he had a personality, maybe whatever his situation was, they didn't like him to begin with. And then he, you know, imagine your brother coming up to you and be like, "Dude, I'm going to rule over all of you guys, including your mother."
Your younger brother.
Yeah.
Not only your younger, but the youngest. There's 12 of you, and your 12th brother comes and says, I'm better than all of you. And I'm going to, it's like, yeah, that's a pretty predictable outcome.
Yeah. And you know, based on the story of David, you know, the youngest usually tend the flock and they don't really do much. He hasn't really lived a life. He's not going to war. He's not doing any of that. He's just very immature. Even if he had this dream, he could have kept it to himself and maybe not like figure out what it was, but it's kind of like he was bragging and boasting about it to his brothers. Like, "Hey guys, like, just so you know, I had this dream and I'm going to rule over you guys."
He wasn't ignorant to how that made him look in their eyes. And also with this, that Jacob, the father, like it says that he gave him the robe and that made his brothers jealous, and it speaks to Jacob's fatherhood that he would show that level of favoritism to one son over the others. And I mean, that also is a pretty predictable path to conflict in a family where you show favoritism to one child. Any kid knows if you have two or three kids in a room and you come in and give a happy meal to one, can't not give happy meals to the rest, right? And I think that goes for adults too. If you have 12 sons and you go and give one a coat, and you got 12 other sons or 11 other sons sitting there, all the other sons are going to be thinking, what's so special about him? Like, why does he get a happy meal? So,
and it's more than that too, because like even if you have the idea or think that the parent is favoriting one sibling over the other, not even like actually doing it, if you have the perception of it, like if you treat a child, if you discipline a child differently, for example, like imagine what that could do as far as repercussions, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean you grew up with siblings. I grew up with my brother, and I've told everyone in my family countless times, like, "You treat my brother better than me." And even if that wasn't true, I thought it to be true, which caused bitterness between myself, my grandmother, and my brother. So like even the thought of it can ruin a house. And, you know, as we're going to read on, you'll see what happens when those roots start growing deep about being bitter to your siblings. So,
no, we're starting in verse 12. "Now their brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them.' 'Very well,' he replied. So he said to him, 'Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me.' Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the field and asked him, 'What are you looking for?' He replied, 'I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?' 'They have moved on from here,' the man answered. 'I heard them say, let's go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. 'Here comes that dreamer,' they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So ending at verse 36, chapter 38 of Genesis, what we've learned so far in this part of the story is, number one, that Joseph is a prideful turd that has these dreams and decides to share them with the whole world, thinking there'll be no repercussions. He had a rude awakening on that front. His brothers act like jealous children, and somebody gets something that they don't get, so they decide to throw him into a hole and sell him into slavery. And he has a father that really has no idea what he's doing when he gives something like a ornate robe to one son, and you know he should have known that was only bringing controversy into his family and not really a good thing, right? And so those are some of the things that I pick up from this chapter. What do you see here, Jeremy?
Well, I think what's really important too is when they go down, he goes down to meet his brothers, right? They're already plotting, like we talked about earlier about the hatred. They're already plotting to murder his brother. Like they got to a level of bitterness where they wanted to murder his youngest brother. And
right, it wasn't an act of anger. They had time to say to say, okay, there he is. Like, let's do this, and then actually think about it and like plot it and say, okay, let's do this instead, right? Like, and so yeah, you're right, that's the amount of time that they had to plot something like that is they really had a desire for pure evil there. They couldn't even claim, oh, I was angry.
Yeah, and it kind of brings me back to the Cain and Abel story, right? The sacrifices weren't good enough, so they literally were like saying, like, the same concept, the same mentality. Like, they felt like they were less than him, or that what they thought or what they could give was less than what he gives. So what did they do? They full on, you know, caned him. Well, they wanted to anyways, right? And I think that something to think about when it comes to our self-reflection as humans, like, what are we capable of doing? And it reminds me of the Cain and Abel story, right? Like, you got to get so dark to where you got to feel bitterness and hatred so much. And it's driven by motivation of many different sorts. But you got to get to that level where you finally think about it, stop planning it, and then they were willing to act. And so that one brother's like, whoa, what are we doing? You know, that one shred of wisdom, still not the best, because he was like, you know, he's like, we can't kill him, but like he still wanted to throw him in the pit, right?
Well, even so, in that part of the story, I think there's something more there where Reuben, the guy that the brother that saved Joseph, you know, he says it to his brothers in a sense that, hey, you know, why would we kill him? Let's get some money from this. Mm-hmm. So he sounds like he's being smart, but really, I think he's being merciful to Joseph, that he's trying to help Joseph, but he doesn't want to look weak in front of his brothers. So he says, hey, let's sell him, knowing, okay, well, at least this way he'll have a chance. But also that all these brothers knew, the 11 knew that Joseph was their father's favorite and how devastating that would be to their father to lose the youngest son. Mm-hmm. And even that wasn't enough to stop them, right? Like they had the moment where they said, hey, oh, hey, let's, there he is in the distance, let's kill him. And the guilt of putting that much devastation in their father's life wasn't even enough to stop them from doing that. So I mean, it's just like, it's not even like only, hey, I'm jealous of my siblings, so I'm going to kill them. It's now I'm also going to ruin my parents' life because I'm a jealous prick.
Yeah. And they didn't even care. So that's why we went back to the bitterness between siblings and parents, right? Because he didn't even care enough. Like they knew that he was a favorite, but they didn't care what their father thought. They didn't care what this father, you know, they did it to manipulate him and to hurt him, right? They didn't think about their father's emotions because they didn't care, because they were so worried about where they were at and how they were feeling about the whole situation that they just said, we're going to do it anyways. And, you know, like you said, Reuben was thinking outside of the box. Well, maybe he has a chance, like you said. Let's get some money out of it at least. But they tore. But you got to understand, like, think about it in like a crime. Anyone who has a background in any criminal investigation or any like the reason why people commit crimes, right? There's a passion for it, right? People, like, they manipulated the situation to make it look like an animal killed it because obviously they didn't want to get caught. But the motive behind dipping that clothing in animal blood and showing the father, it's more than just, oh, we're trying to prove that he's dead. It looks like he got destroyed by an animal, like ripped to pieces, which is more emotional.
Yeah.
So I think
that's very heartless by the brothers.
Yeah. Very. And it's passionate. And that's how you can tell how angry they were, is because they planned it so strategically to where it looked like he was mortified. Well, the father was mortified and that the son was just destroyed to pieces, which says something about how the brothers felt emotionally about the entire thing.
They were
so
very ambivalent about the whole thing. They didn't care at all. So ending this chapter off to bring it back to the point of this podcast, where does this tribulation lead us? So at this point in the story, you know, when Joseph has had these dreams that he'll rise above the rest, but right now he's been sold into slavery. So from his perspective, it doesn't look like things are going too well. But as young people with large ambitions, we often don't think of the mountaintop, you know, as that there's going to be a large molding process to get to who we need to be. And Joseph needs to be sold into slavery and have these dreams and have all the experience he's going to have to get to where God can use him. And, you know, he had the dreams of rising above the rest. Little did he know all of the tribulation that would come between the timing of those dreams and when they actually come to fulfillment. So it's important to remember that in our own lives. And as we're reading this story, look at Joseph's experiences and where our mindset would be in that same position and how bleak things can look in the middle of that moment, but knowing that God has a larger picture in mind. So don't get discouraged so easily, even if you're Joseph and sold into slavery to Pharaoh. And there's always a brighter side if you trust in God. Does that sound good, Jeremy?
Yeah. I mean, I think with this entire situation, I key points to learn on, you know, don't get bitter. Don't be prideful. Be humble. even if you're the dream that, or the knowledge that you receive, don't go around telling everyone, oh, I'm going to rule over you guys. Like, haha, like, you know, you guys are a bunch of suckers, you know? And I think there's just key points within that. And honestly, I think too, as a person who may be a victim to the perception of being the least favored by a parent, check yourself. You know, like if you feel like your parents love a different sibling more or treat them differently, talk to them, right? Say, hey, mom, hey, dad. Like, so like I've noticed a couple things. Like, I just want to hear you out and your mentality with this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm wondering, like, maybe sometimes if, you know, so-and-so does this, do you think that maybe you treat them differently rather than keeping it in? You know, there's a way of approaching it too, like approach it with them with love and understanding.
Cool, man. Well, okay. So we're going to end that episode off here. First episode of season 3. Stick with us for Joseph's story. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.